pasuk in this week's parsha tells us v'hi b'shalach paro asa'am. It came to pass that when Paro let the nation go, v'loynicham elokim derech eretz plishtim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not lead Klal Yisrael by way of the land of the plishtim, ki karovhu, because it was close, ki amar elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if the people will pass by the land of the Plishtim, perhaps they'll reconsider when they see the war, and they return to Mitzrayim. It's not obvious what the pasuk is talking about. What war are we talking about over here? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu afraid that we're going to see? And in a moment, we'll quote the Medrash. But before we quote the Medrash, just to quickly ask a question, tonight is Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat, we have a minute to eat dried fruit. Did you girls have that growing up in America? Did they give out the boxer?
Yeah.
That's a terrible thing, no? I don't even know how to describe it. It's like cardboard. It's like a...
The banana chips were always left behind.
Yeah, it's actually delicious when it's fresh. But growing up, when I was in Hafter, they never gave it to us fresh. So I was never excited about Tu B'Shvat. So tonight, we're going to try to explore, based on a Torah from Rav Leib Le'Eger, Rav Avram Le'Eger, and the other of the Bali Chassidus, to try to explore the minig of why we eat dried fruit on Tu B'Shvat. And also to know that Tu B'Shvat very often falls out in this week of Parshas B'Shalach, and to understand the connection between Tu B'Shvat and this week's Parsha. So the Medrash tells us as follows. The Navi Yechezkel, which we read on the Haftarah of Shabbos on Pesach, the Navi Yechezkel tells us about the Valley of Dry Bones. The story is that there were 300,000 Jews from Shevet Ephraim that attempted to leave Mitzrayim 30 years too early. And they entered into a terrible war with the Plishtim, and we'll try to understand this in a deeper way soon. But they entered into a war with Plishtim, and 300,000 Jews were wiped out. And the Plishtim left their bones in the desert, in a valley in the desert, where the bones dried up, and they sat there for many years. The Navi Yechezkel describes how eventually, in the times of Tchias HaMesim, the moisture would surge throughout the dry bones and revive these dry bones. The Medrash tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want Klal Yisrael to see the dry bones of Shevet Ephraim as they were leaving Mitzrayim, because it makes sense now in context. If they're going to see the bones of those Jews that tried to leave and were wiped out, it makes sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not want Klal Yisrael to see that, because then they would become terribly afraid. But the question is for us, what is the Torah teaching us? What does this have to do with us? This whole story of the dry bones that they were going to see, why is this critical for the Torah to tell us? The Torah doesn't need to tell us the directions of Klal Yisrael. The Torah should just tell us how we left. It seems like the Torah is almost trying to tell us that in order to leave Mitzrayim, a person needs to avoid seeing the dry bones of Shevet Ephraim that were conquered by the Plishtim. And the question is, of what relevance is that to us today? So listen to what the Navi Yechezkel says. The Navi Yechezkel says as follows. Vayomer Elai ben Adam. He said to me, son of man, ha'atzamos ha'ela, kol beis Yisrael hima, hine omrim, yovshu atzmeisenu, v'avda tikvasenu, nigzarnu lanu. Our bones have become dried up, our hope is lost, and we are clean cut off to ourselves. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe points out over here that there are three levels of hopelessness that a Jew goes through in their lifetimes. Not all Jews go through this, but on some level, we all go through an aspect of this. The first thing is, and many of us have had this in our lives, a feeling of my life is devoid of Torah. There's no meaning in my life. I'm living my life. I wake up every single day, but I wake up with no purpose. I wake up with nothing to live for. I have a life, but like, where is all of this headed? The hopelessness, these bones, the dried out bones of Shevet Ephraim, for so many of us, that feeling of yevashos, that feeling of being dried out. You see people today and they're dried out people. You ever see a dried out person? You know what it means to be a dried out person? There are some people that are mamish so alive, and there are some people that you look at them and they're parched. There's the hopelessness is so deep. You don't see any chayos. You don't see any life to them. There was a term, I shouldn't say this out loud, but there was a term, it was a terrible term, and unfortunately so many of us are still suffering from this. There was a term that kids were using for each other after COVID. After COVID ended, the guys had a terminology, they called it, he's an NPC. you know this word. An NPC, means a non-playable character. In a video game, there are players that you take on, and that you're playing as that person, and then there's just stuff, like on the side, like scenery. They're characters in the game, but they're non-playable. You can't do anything with them. And the boys would tell me, immediately in the year following COVID, when I went into America to do Bechinas, so I would ask them, how's your high school experience? And so I remember the first time I heard it, one of the boys said, it's been terrible. I have so many NPCs in my class. And I didn't know what an NPC was, so he explained to me it's a non-playable character. And I asked him, I said, was meinst du a non-playable character? Like, what does that look like in school? So he said, a boy will come to class. He's not allowed to be on his phone in class, so he's not on his phone. But as soon as the period ends and they leave the class, nobody talks to each other anymore. They just sit in the hallway. You've seen this? You ever walk through a high school hallway? You sit in the hallway and you have boys just sitting on the floor, just on their phones. They're not talking to each other. They're just next to each other. They're in the proximity of one another, but there's no connection. There's no vulnerability. There's no deep empathy with another person. There's just dried out people. I don't know. Again, it's hard for me sometimes to give shiur in seminaries because like I have my own feelings around these things that probably you don't relate to, but there's something that a boy goes through in his life that you could play on a Sunday afternoon video games for hours. And like you could play for 5-6 hours. You could see a boy does this. And at the end of 5-6 hours of playing on a Sunday, you actually feel gross. Do you ever have that where you just like do nothing for hours? And then what was that?
Scrolling on TikTok.
Yeah, just scrolling on TikTok, YouTube shorts. And at the end, you could do it for 3-4 hours. And at the end of it, you feel dry. There's a life that's devoid of Torah. The Navi Yecheskel is speaking, even though he's speaking to those people from Shevet Ephraim, and we'll see why they were from Shevet Ephraim in a moment. He's speaking to those Yidden from Shevet Ephraim. The Navi Yecheskel is speaking to us. There are people that they have no, there's a deep feeling, I have nothing in my life to live for. I'm alive. I'm not killing myself, Chas v'Shalom. I'm alive, but for what? For what am I alive? I don't wake up in the morning for any tachlis. I don't wake up for any purpose. It's just like the machine is designed to continue itself. Do you ever have a feeling like that? Like, I'm here and I'm doing things just to continue doing things, but there's no point of anything that I'm doing. Sometimes we even could feel that way in our Yiddishkeit. That a person could show up every day to their Yiddishkeit, they could show up to daven, they could show up to learn, but they're cut off from a life of Torah. They're cut off from a deep connection. That's the first level. That's what it means, Yavshu Atzmaisenu. Then there's a next level of hopelessness, V'avda Tikvasenu, that hope is lost. The second level of hopelessness is not only that my life is meaningless, but that my life will always be meaningless, and that there's nothing I could do to change it. There's a point in all of our lives, but I'm thinking of somebody in specific right now. There's a point in life where things have been such in such a profound way for such a long time that there's no way to possibly change it. There's a young man who I love very much. He's an amazing, special, fantastic, phenomenal person. The only one that doesn't know it is him. And he has right now a feeling that it's not possible for me to get out of this, and I don't know how to get out of this. And, you know, this is, we use this word very lightly. We use the word depression, like, yeah, I'm depressed. You know, we throw these words around. I was just walking in just now. I don't know if it was any of you, and if it was, I don't mean to make fun. Just like a thing that people say, it's a 2024 nomenclature. I was walking in, and one of the girls just said, I have no idea. I didn't even see who it was. One of the girls just threw out this line. She's like, oh my gosh, this is causing me so much anxiety. We throw around these words like they're nothing, like anxiety, depression. But when a person gets to a place where they cannot get out, and they're completely stuck, and you say to them, how do you make change? And they say, I have no idea how to make change. It's not possible for me to make change. This is where I am. And it's not going to change. There's nothing I could do to change it. It's a terrible place to be. It's an even deeper level of being dried up. The first level of dried up is, I have no tachlis to my life. The second level of dried up is, and there never will be. And there never will be. Lo aleinu, you have these girls that are dating, and they have no sense of hope. So I've been dating for a while, and I just don't see anything coming my way because of this and this and this in my life. And then there's this tremendous fear that takes hold. And you say to this girl, will you ever get married? And she says, probably not. Do you think it's possible that somebody could love you? Probably not. And then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because the more that you think you can't be somewhere else, the more that you won't be anywhere else. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. There are girls that come to Eretz Yisrael for the year, and they have big hopes and dreams, and they say, by the time that I leave Tomer Devorah, I want to look like this. And at some point in the year, we all hit a wall, and we realize to ourselves, even though it's not true, but we realize, we come to this consciousness that this is who I am. There's no changing this. This is who I am, and it's always going to follow me. And you have girls that will come to me after a shir, and they'll say something like this. They'll go, okay, even though I think I could change, the world won't let me change. I'm always going to be known as the girl that did this. I'm always going to be, and therefore, since the world won't let me forget it, I'm never going to forget it. And it is me, and it defines me, and my lowest moments define me. And change is impossible. And there's this feeling, there's a deep feeling of it's not possible for me to do anything. This is who I am, and it's finished. And that's also the bones that Yechezkel found in that valley, in that desert, outside of Mitzrayim. It's the bones that very much we could relate to. The bones of, number one, my life is devoid of meaning. Number two, my life will always be devoid of meaning. My life will always be devoid of Torah. There is no change that's possible. And that story of that girl, by the way, you have that story of that girl in your head, the one that you remember when she came back from Tomer Devorah. But her story is different. Change was possible for her, but it's not possible for me. Because at the end of the day, she came back to a certain family, and I'm not coming back to that family. Or she came back to that support system, but I'm not coming back to that support system. And change is impossible. It's an unbelievable thing. I don't know, I think they did it in Tomer Devorah this year. I know they've done it in other seminaries. I spoke in another seminary where they did this, where the girls left their phones. They all got dumb phones for, I think it was 10 days. And, well, right? And, no, and I want you to know, at the end of 10 days, so I spoke at the end of the 10 days, and the girls said, when I asked them, like, for the feedback, what was it like? They said, we just never thought it would be possible. Like, which is, like, in your mind, in the beginning of it, you go, I can't go 10 days. And every day that goes by, you become more accustomed to the change that's possible. Most of us are living in prisons of our own design. We told ourselves that change is impossible, and we dried up because of it. Because if change is impossible, then hope is lost. And if hope is lost, then what in the world am I doing here? The natural human being seeks to evolve. If you're not evolving in this world, something is wrong. Have you noticed that about yourself? Have you noticed that you're very different from the person that you were when you're 10 years old? Yeah, you should notice that, right? That's an obvious thing to notice, that there's an evolution that every one of us goes through. Did you ever meet a 16-year-old that's just done? That she's done. She's checked out. She's finished. There's nothing. She wakes up in the morning and she says, not only do I not know why I'm waking up in the morning, there's no reason for doing anything because nothing will ever change. Have you ever had a friend like that? Have you ever been in a space like that? If you're in a space like that, even for 5 minutes, you know that that is one of the worst, most cruel painful things that you can ever go through. The feeling of, this is me and finished. That is a terrible level of hopelessness and despair to go through. But there is, the Navi Yechezkel says, an even deeper level, which is Nigzarnu Lanu. And here I want to speak to a very specific pain in our community. And I might say something that upsets people, but I feel an achrayus to say it to the future mothers of Klal Yisrael.
This is number three.
It's one thing to lead a life that's meaningless. It's another thing to lead a life where no change is possible. But both of those things are nothing in comparison to the person that's been cut off from the community. The person that's been cut off, that has no friends, that's alone. I'm not talking about now a person who has some friends, but they can't be honest. I'm talking about a person that's been cut off. That is the single deepest level of pain that a person could ever experience. Do you know, it's a cycle. You lead a life that's meaningless, and then you start to believe change is impossible. And you know what you start to do when change is impossible? You cut yourself off from everything around you. You have no desire to be there, and nobody has a desire to be around you. Did you ever have a friend that was so deeply in this place of despair that it was impossible to be her friend? That there was no space to be her friend? That even if you would try to be her friend, nobody was home? You'd knock on the door, and just there's nobody home. You're looking at a blank slate. The feeling of loneliness from the place of despair is the deepest feeling of pain that a person can experience. And unfortunately, trying to choose my words carefully because I don't want to say anything negative about Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael is an amazing and beautiful nation. And because we have such a deep capacity to connect to each other, unfortunately we also have the capacity to hurt each other. And unfortunately, there are people that are going through this level of pain. And our response to these kids is to say, okay, so you're isolated. You know, when someone is isolated, the last thing in the world they want is to be isolated. When someone is isolated, that's a responsibility to everyone who's paying attention to go over to that person to say, it doesn't matter if you feel isolated from us, we will not isolate ourselves from you. When a person is in a tremendous amount of pain and pushing you away, that's exactly the time where you say, you're welcome to push me away, but I'm not going anywhere. And unfortunately, we're not yet there. There are children that are crying out, children, teenagers, there are children that are crying out, they're saying, I have no Torah in my life, I have no meaning in my life, and I don't think change is possible. You don't have to do anything to fix those people, you just have to sit next to them. My wife has this line that she says very often, she says, don't just do something, sit there. You know, a lot of times people want to do something. Sometimes people don't need you to do anything. They don't need you to fix them. They just need you to sit there with them. Because for some people, they're living through a holocaust of loneliness. And a holocaust of loneliness is nothing that any of us should ever have to experience. But in our worst moments, we often feel like, I don't want to be around anybody. But to know that you have friends next to you, even if you don't want to be around them, but that they won't leave your side, it's one of the most precious gifts that we can give ourselves. To know that there are people that won't give up on us. Could you imagine being that yavesh? Could you imagine being that dried out? That your life has no meaning? That you think change is impossible? And you have nobody next to you? Could you imagine the level of despair that the Navi Yechezkel saw? When the Navi Yechezkel was looking at those bones in that valley, you know what it means, the valley, girls? It means the lowest possible place. It wasn't just the desert, it was the valley of the desert. We're talking about Yidden that experienced such levels of despair that they were mamish, there was nothing beneath them. There was the dried out bones. You know what a dried out bone is? You know how brittle a dried out bone is? This is like the imagery. If you'll open your heart and pay attention to the imagery, that is the single most painful thing that a person could experience. Take a moment, I'm being serious, take a moment right now. You all know people like this, and you all know times in your life where you've been in such a place. Take a moment to access the pain of what the Navi Yechezkel was seeing. The dried out bones of people that had no tachlis habriya, there was nothing to their lives, no possibility for change, and no friends, no family, no community, completely cut off. Can you see the pain that the Navi Yechezkel saw? So why is it that the Plishtim were able to do this? The Plishtim were the enemies. Why were they able to do this? So I want to share with you who Shevet Ephraim was. Imagine you're in Mitzrayim, and you're like, that's it, we have to go. And even appropriate or inappropriate, could you imagine what these 300,000 Yidden were living through? After all of those years of slavery, 180 years of slavery, you know what these Yidden had? These precious, beautiful, powerful Jews? They had desire. They were alive. You know, some people, Rav Shlomo Freifeld, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he said, some people are young and they're very old, and some people are old and they're very young. Sometimes I look around, not in a judgmental sense, I just look around, and I see young people that are very old. It's crippling to watch. They sit there stoned, wake and bake. The pain is so deep that they have nothing to live for. They can't put down the phone. They can't for a moment experience their own emotions. They're yavesh. They're young, but they're so old. And then you find old people that are mamish so young. You find people that are in their 70s and 80s and even in their 90s, and they're so alive. Can I share with you? There's a Rebbe in Mevaseret who's in his 90s.
Wow.
He's in his 90s. The top Shana Bet Shir in Mevaseret is a very, very, very big Talmud Chacham. His name is Rabbi Safer. Rabbi Safer is in his late 50s. His father is over 90 years old, and his father comes in every single day to yeshiva to learn one-on-one with one of the guys. A 90, plus 90 years old, and a 19-year-old. Learn together every single day. You know what's amazing about it? Nobody would, it's understandable, you're plus 90 years old, you know, take a walk. You know, like, what are you going to do with your life already? Take a walk, swim. Can you swim at that age? You could swim, I guess you could float. You know, like, what can you do already? Could you imagine being plus 90 years old, waking up every morning, going to Minyan, putting on tefillin, davening, getting in a car, traveling 35 minutes to Mevaseret, and sitting and learning with a boy all morning long, and then getting in a car and going home? That's what he does every single morning. Rabbi Safer Sr. He doesn't drive. Somebody drives him. Hey, he's so old, but he is so much younger than some of the people in this room. Because he's got a life of meaning. He's got a life of Torah. He has a desire. The godless of Shevet Ephraim was you could not beat the desire out of them. 180 years of Mitzrayim. And you know what they were thinking the entire time? I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave Mitzrayim. And they finally did it, too early and misguided. But they got up and they said, you can't squelch our desire to leave. We don't belong in Galus. We don't belong as slaves. You know, people died in the Holocaust. You know why? Not because they died because the Nazis Yimach Shemam shot them, or because the Nazis Yimach Shemam worked them to death. Viktor Frankl writes, they died because they had nothing to live for. And those people that had what to live for, somehow they survived. Shevet Ephraim sat in Mitzrayim all of those years, and they were so strong. Ephraim from a lashon of Piria, Ephraim from a lashon of growth and fruitfulness. They said, we don't belong in Galus. You know how many Yidden I know that belong in Galus? That they believe deeply about themselves. I'm a Galus Jew. You talk to them. I'm going to say things that are not going to be popular, but it's what I believe, it's in my heart, and I feel a responsibility to say it to you. If you talk to them, if you even talk to them about making Aliyah, I'm not making Aliyah. You talk. Don't start there. Don't start. We're not making Aliyah. We could be good Jews wherever we are. It's true. Of course you can. But after thousands of years, we have the opportunity to live in Eretz Yisrael. If that doesn't make your heart skip a beat, even if you're going to live in America, if you don't realize the godless of sitting and learning Torah right now in Yerushalayim, your HaKadosh, what happened to your desire? Where'd your taiva go? You know, I like the guys in yeshiva that are lebedik. I like the guys in yeshiva that make trouble. They think I don't like them. I love those guys the most. Yeah, I get them in trouble, but I want you to know, when they walk out of the office after I got them in trouble, almost always I turn to the Rebbe who's with them, the Rebbe who stayed behind, and I go, you know, he's going to be great. Because the guy who gets in trouble, he's alive. You see, he's alive. He's a lebedik kid. He's doing the wrong thing. He's a lebedik kid. Just move him in that direction. He's going to be phenomenal. There's a guy in yeshiva this year, I'm telling you, I won't tell you his name. There's a guy in yeshiva this year, I would argue right now he's one of the top 10 guys in yeshiva. In terms of growth and working on himself and learning in Beis Medrash and davening, you just see he's an ander mensch. This guy didn't get into Mevaseret in the beginning of last year. He got in off the wait list. He pushed his way in. And he got in trouble in the beginning of the year. And all the rules and regulations that we said, you could come to Mevaseret, but you have to follow these rules. He broke every single one of them except for one.
Which is only
I'm not telling you, it doesn't matter. He broke every single one of them except for one. And in the beginning of the year, I kept calling him in. And I had the paper. I said, okay, now it's this one. Now it's this one. Now it's this one. Now it's this one.
Why do you kick him out?
Because he's awesome. Because you don't kick people who have desire out. You just have to figure out how to channel them. He's a gewalt. He's a gewaltig guy. I took a picture. He's in the base medrash before anybody else, sitting with his Gemara and learning and preparing for Shir. I took a picture behind him. I sniped a picture. I said, because I'm relevant. I know what it means to snipe a picture. I used to take pictures. You snipe pictures. That's because you're not as relevant as me. I know all the words because I hang out with 18-year-old boys. At 8 o'clock tonight, I'm going to dip and go elsewhere. I'm holding. Trust me. Very, very relevant. I took a picture. I sent a picture. I sniped a picture. I sent it to his father. 9:15 in the morning. Seder doesn't even start till 9:30. 9:15 in the morning. He'd already been there for a couple of minutes. Already been there probably for 10, 15 minutes. And he's got his head in the Gemara and he's sitting there writing the notes and preparing for the day. The guy is going to be a gewalt. By the way, every time I say to him, you know you're going to be special. He goes, I'm telling you, Rabbi, you think I'm going to be something that I'm not. Well, so far he's wrong. And he's going to be wrong. He's going to be unbelievable because he has unbelievable desire. It's just a question of moving him in the right direction. A mentor of mine when I was growing up, his name is Mr. Richie Altaby. He's the principal of Halb Elementary School today. I love him too. So. I'll tell him that I said his name and that girl swooned. Yeah.
We love his wife even more.
She's great, Lisa. She's a special woman. Special woman. So I want to tell you something. Richie Altaby, years ago, 20 plus years ago, I asked him about a certain guy. Like, were you ever nervous about that guy? He goes, nah, I knew he was going to become great. I said, why? He goes, because he was a ball player. You know, a kid who gets up in the morning for, you know, and maybe he's not going to daven, but, you know, maybe he's going to shoot around in the gym. You know, maybe he's cutting class, but he's going to shoot around in the gym. He cares about something. He has energy. He has a motor. These dead kids. We killed these kids. How did we take the life out of these kids? Everyone's blaming the technology. The technology is the symptom, not the cause. We took the life out of these kids. They're dead kids. A ball player, you'll see. He's a ball player one day, you'll see. He'll become a Meshuggah for Talmud Torah the next day. He's a Meshuggah for ball, he'll be a Meshuggah for Torah. But he's alive, he's Lebedik. That was Shevet Ephraim. You're not going to hold me back in Mitzrayim forever. So the first chance, a miscalculation, but the first chance, we out. So who are the Plishtim? So listen to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Pasuk in Tillim says, "Uva Moishav Leitzim Lo Yashav," that you shouldn't sit with Leitzim. You shouldn't sit with scoffers, with Leitzanim. Who is this referring to? "Uva Moishav Leitzim Lo Yashav Shal Lo Yashav B'Moishav Anshe Plishtim Neisha Leitzanim Hayu." You can't sit with Plishtim, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, because you know who Plishtim are? They're people that suck the life out of people. They're people that suck the desire out of people. You know, there's such a thing as a letz. It's a shtikel amalek. A Rebbe gives a shir and a girl is inspired. And she walks out. And she's inspired and she's thinking to herself, how am I going to take this into the world of action? And later that night in the dorms, all it takes is one joke, one line, one sharp little criticism. Classic, whatever, that rabbi, yeah? And all of a sudden you see the balloon get deflated. All the desire, all the passion, all the ratzon, all the things that make a person human, one line. You're sitting in a room of girls, and one girl, she's a plishti in that room. She's a plishti in that room. She pops the balloon. Uva Moshav Leitzim Lo Yashav. You know what happened to Ephraim? Yeah, they were misguided. And they shouldn't have left when they did. But the desire that Ephraim had to leave would have taken them out of Mitzrayim had they not run into the Plishtim. Nothing stands in the way of desire. Girls, I'm telling you, you can do whatever you want as long as you know what it is. If you truly want something, nothing will stand in your way. If you're a dreamer and your dream is strong enough, there is nothing that will stop your dream from dying. Dreams are exceptionally powerful. Desire is exceptionally powerful. Did you ever meet someone who's a freight train of desire? You see people get out of her way. She's a freight train of desire. She's going right here. Everyone gets out of the way. Everyone clears out. That's where she's going. These are powerful people. Every single person in this room has the capacity for desire. But there are people, lo aleinu, there are plishtim, moshav leitzim, there are leitzanim, they know how to suck the desire out of a person. They know how to say that line, to make fun, to scoff, to roll your eyes. All it takes is an eye roll. All it takes is an eye roll. You want to see what it looks like? I'll show you how quick it is. You could destroy a person. You could destroy a person with an eye roll. That's why you have to be careful who you share your dreams with. Because dreams are exceptionally powerful. Ephraim wasn't killed by the Plishtim because the Plishtim were stronger. Ephraim was killed by the Plishtim because the Plishtim knew how to suck their desire. 180 years of slavery didn't take away Ephraim's desire, but one interaction with the Plishtim took away the desire. And now we can understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we can't go that way. We can't be anywhere near it. Kikarovu, it's very, very dangerous. What will happen? What will happen to these Jews that they see themselves as slaves and I'm taking them out of Mitzrayim? If they're going to look at the dried out bones of Ephraim, what's going to happen to them? They're going to turn around. They're going to be too scared. They're going to say, that's it, Rebbe, I can't do this anymore. And they're going to run back to their slavery. Why in the world would anyone run back to Auschwitz? You know what the Teretz is? Because Auschwitz is safer than losing your person. Auschwitz is safer than seeing the dried out bones of Shevet Ephraim. To see, you know what it's like to see the death of somebody who was so big? Somebody who lived with so much desire and then you see them and they're tanked? You ever have a friend who was just full of life and then tragedy struck and they fell into a deep depression? You can't see such a person. It doesn't even make any sense. You're looking at them going, how could this be you? You're larger than life. How could this be you? It's a terrifying sight. It's a terrifying sight. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we have to do whatever we can to keep these people away from seeing those dried out bones that Yechezkel saw. So what's the cure? For those of us that feel the despair of these atzamos yeveshos, these dried out bones, what can we do? So listen what the Gemara in Ksuva says. The Navi Yechezkel prophesizes that in the times of Tchias HaMesim, the dew, the tal of Mashiach, will revive these people. What is the tal of Mashiach today? Listen what the Gemara in Ksuva says. Ki tal oiros talecha v'aretz refoim tapil. For your dew is the dew of light, and the earth shall bring life to the shades. It's the Navi Pasuk in Yeshaya. And Rav Elazar explains, kol hamishtamesh ba'or Torah. Anyone that will engage the light of Torah, Torah mechayehu. The Torah will enliven such a person. V'chol she'ena mishtamish v'ar Torah, and anyone who does not utilize the light of Torah, he will not be enlivened by Torah. There is an unbelievable thing that happens, and we see it in yeshiva and we see it in seminary. This is paint by number. If you want to take someone who is cut off from everything, who has no hope and no source of change in their life, they think it's impossible, and they have no value in their life, I want to tell you, it's a secret. It's an amazing secret. Sit down and learn Torah with a person, and a person changes from Torah. You do not need to dress up Torah to be something that it's not. Torah is Chayim, and if you teach Torah to a person, it works, and I've seen it with my own eyes. For 16 years I've been in Mevasera, and for 16 years I've seen young men who come in, and they're yavesh, they're dry, and there's nothing going on, and you open up a sefer, and they pound the sefer, and they sit there, and they memorize Shakla Vitaria of Gemara, and you see, they come alive. There's a capacity, there's Chayim in Torah. You don't need to dress it up. It doesn't need to be dynamic or charismatic. They sit there, they learn Mishnayos, they do Shnayim Mikra, they're learning the Gemara, they're learning the Lamdas. You see these children, they come alive. It's the most incredible, inspiring thing in the world.
So what do you do?
It's a very simple equation. Don't ask any questions. There's nothing. You sit down, you learn Torah with a person. I'm telling you, I saw, we did a week in Mevasera, it's not even 2 weeks ago. We did a week where we canceled all shiurim. No shiurim, canceled all shiurim. It's called Hasmada week. And the boys sit there on their own, they learn 40 blot of Gemara, some of them did 80 blot of Gemara. 40 blot of Gemara in a week, 40 hours, Hasmada b'li batala, 60 minutes in an hour, no phones. And you see, there's one guy, I'm not going to say his name, but I want to say his name because he's amazing. There's one guy in yeshiva, and I saw him, this boy, you would never in a million years think that this would be this boy. He's walking, pacing back and forth in the base medrash, muttering to himself. And he's saying Shakla Vitaria of the Gemara Baal Peh. He's making sure that he knows every single word Baal Peh. And I'm telling you, you saw a dramatic change in 1 week. A dramatic change in 1 week. I'm not saying that he won't have his ups and downs. Everyone does, everyone will. you saw the way that Torah impacts a person. This is what the Gemara says. If you want the person to be revived, if you want the Tal of Mashiach that will one day come to those Atzamos Yaveshos that Yechezkel is prophesizing about, you have a bit of it here in this world. Torah has the capacity to be Mechaya a person. And that's why the Navi Yechezkel says, Vayomer Elai HaNavi Al Atzamos HaEleh Va'amart Eleihem Atzamos HaYaveshos Shimu Devar Hashem. He said to me, prophesize over these bones. This is what the Navi Yechezkel said. Prophesize over these bones. And say to them, Atzamos Yaveshos, you dry bones. Shimu Devar Hashem. Listen to the word of Hashem. You learn Torah with a person. You introduce them to Hashem. Watch as a person comes alive. You want to know what the secret is? Rebbe, how could I come alive? How could I be alive? How could I not be the girl that's just like going through the motions anymore? Crack open a sefer. Crack open a sefer. Shimu Devar Hashem. Crack open a sefer. Your soul is thirsting for the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We all need food. None of us could survive without food, but we're starving ourselves. And I don't mean come to shir. Coming to shir is nice. Coming to shir is good halachic entertainment, as my Rebbe Shlita would have said. You come, you crack a few jokes, the girls listen, some do, some don't. Some are fighting through falling asleep. I admire those girls very much. Nothing, as one girl I'm referring to in particular, it's a beautiful thing. The head bob, I want you to know, to the girl who's head bobbing, I want you to know, is the most special thing to see a girl who's fighting. That you're on the verge of whiplash, but you keep coming back. You're lucky, you're girls. You know what the boys have to do? The boys have to catch their yarmulke as it falls. You know what it means? To wake up mid-flight, catch your yarmulke, and snap back into shir? Girls, you have it very easy. I'm not talking about coming to shir. I'm talking about a very simple thing. Crack open a sefer. Go over to a girl. Ask her for a chavrusa. Open up the chumash. The words of the Torah are mechaya person. Shimu devar Hashem. I'm feeling yavesh. I'm feeling dried out. Crack open the sefer. The sefer has life in it. You could put away all the nonsense in your life if you open up a sefer of life. So we're out of time. So let me just finish very quickly. Now we can understand why the Navi Yechezkel is read in Nisan, because we know that Rav Haigon says that in Nisan the ultimate Geula will occur, and in Nisan specifically Tchiyas HaMeisim will occur, and we also know why specifically it falls out on Pesach, because on Pesach we start davening for the Tal, we start davening for the dew of Mashiach, and now we can understand why generally Tu B'Shvat falls out. This year we have two others, but generally Tu B'Shvat falls out 45 days before Pesach. Why does it fall out 45 days before Pesach, before Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Why does it fall out? Because what happens on Tu B'Shvat, the sap that's in the tree, the sap that you think is gone, all you see is the dried out tree. What starts to happen on Tu B'Shvat? The sap starts to rise. The sap that was already there, it's there, it just needs to be melachlech, it just needs to wet things up a little bit, it needs to loosen it up a little bit. You might think to yourself, I'm a dried out tree. But every one of us has the Tal of Mashiach inside of us. Every one of us has the capacity, Shimu Dvar Hashem. Every one of us has the capacity to listen to the Word of God. And it's not an accident that this Parsha of Beshalach, where Klal Yisrael goes around so that it won't see the Atzamos Yaveshos, is the same week where Tu B'Shvat falls out. If you want to stay away from becoming an Atzama Yavesha, if you want to stay away from being a dried out person, stay away from the Leitzanim. And stay with Tu B'Shvat. Believe in the sap that exists within every single one of us. Learn Torah and allow that sap to rise up from within yourself. Girls, have a wonderful Shabbos.